Hey kids, this is Rish Outfield, and this is something I've never done before. Maybe no podcaster has ever done it. I am podcasting in the middle of a rainstorm. Rain is not a big deal, but the thing that is the lightning and thunder. And it's so powerful, or it has been twice, that you have to stop everything you were doing. Oh my goodness. Sorry, that's not such a good idea. Okay. All right, let me start over. Twice now, the thunder has been so great that, you know, you just feel it in your bones. You're like, holy cow. You're like, I'm sorry, Thor. It was better than Winter Soldier, really. And I really love the thunder and lightning. Not the rain so much, but the thunder and lightning is pretty cool. Hoping for another one of those cracks of thunder that's just, you know, you feel it in your teeth. You feel it in your taint. So far, no. But, gosh, I remember one time I worked at a... Oh, that's pretty. I worked at a store. If you're American, did you ever hear of a store called Media Play? When I was in college, a Media Play opened in my college town. And I just thought it was the greatest store. I couldn't believe it. It was like it had music, movies, and books. And it also had video games, but I wasn't really a video game guy. But still, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. And I would go there all the time, like after class. I probably went there a few times instead of class. I just loved it. I'd grab a book, and they had chairs so you could read. And so I went there, and when summer came, and it came time to look for a job, or was it even before summer? It was like spring semester or whatever. That's the first place I went. And I got hired there, and I did double duty in the music department and in the video department. And anyway, one night, or, you know, afternoon or something like that, we had this terrible thunderstorm. It was the night of that terrible thunderstorm. Remember, George? What, Lorraine? And it was just one of those where the thunder was so loud that you felt like the vibrations in the walls. And, like, the customers were all getting antsy, you know, and they started talking in New England accents. You know, it was that bad of a storm. I was like, oh, the nor'easter, it's blowing mighty hard. Yeah, there were a couple of times when the thunder rang out and the windows, you could see the windows shake or vibrate or something. My department's manager was probably, she was probably not yet even in her 30s, and she was like, oh, shoot, what are we going to do if those windows start to break? Or what are we going to do if the power goes out? And I was just like, oh, gosh, wouldn't that be cool if it did? And she looked at me with such horror. It was as though I said, you know, oh, wouldn't it be neat if lightning struck one of us? But for a while there, just like all work ceased at the place. And the employees and the customers went hand in hand to the windows and watched the storm. Because nobody was leaving. You'd be crazy to stand out in it like I'm doing right now. But none of the windows ever broke. I remember, I think, is it possible that car alarms went off? Oh, maybe there was hail or something, and those set off car alarms. But anyway, since I started recording, there's not been any of those just thunderous crashes that, like I said, you feel in your taint. I have a very sensitive taint. It's, something that all the outfield men... But it's both a gift and a curse, really. Oh, instead of just standing here like a dumbass, I should have been taking things that shouldn't be in the rain, out of the rain. I'm just not very good at doing two things at once. the podcasting while I'm driving can often be a meandering, slipshod thing where I start to tell a story and then that story never gets finished. Big recently had installed a camera on his dashboard using a Dixie cup. That's high tech, folks. Cutting edge technology there. And I thought he did a pretty good job. He seemed natural while he was driving, and somebody even complimented him on the safety of his driving. I think he only ran down one pedestrian, and the pedestrian lived. I thought about that a couple of times since watching that. I wonder what I would manage if I tried that. And yeah, if it was something that was on my mind and I could just talk about it while I'm driving, would that be worth watching? And I don't know that I want to know the answer to that, because I'm never going to do it. I don't have a video camera like Big does. Big actually had this neat little GoPro camera that got stolen from him. And it was a big shock that it got stolen from him, because he would just set it up on his driveway or his sidewalk or his front porch and let it go recording to do time lapse. So it would be going for 5-6 hours. But instead of like sitting on the porch swing whittling while it was recording, he would go about his day or go to bed. And then, yeah, just one day it was gone. Which is sad. Why am I telling you this? Gosh, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm doing this thing. Do I have any episodes that are about storms? I have stormy weather, which is the snowstorm story. I have one called Space Shit. In fact, every once in a while, and back in the day I used to do it all the time, and now I'm too cowardly to do it, but every once in a while I would put a song lyric at the start of my stories to set the mood, to make it seem like I'm a better writer than I am. And on Space Shit, it started with, "Here comes the rain again, falling on my head like a tragedy." Is that how that goes? Well, something similar. But I don't think I'm going to share that with you. Big used to always say, "Hey, that's a story you really ought to share." He really liked it, and that makes me pleased when somebody says they like something that I've written. But I was always too cowardly about it. I don't know why. There's nothing wrong with that story. It's a little bit of profanity, a whole lot of dung. You know me, I'm a little bit antsy about sharing. Okay, I'm a lot antsy about sharing my stuff, and then I'm a little bit antsy about people, you know, saying that I have the tendency to do blank. I don't know. It's a good story. If I were just a tad bit more brave, I guess I would share it. The rainstorm has ended, folks. I mean, it's still raining, but I haven't heard any claps in a little while, so I guess I'm going to go in. Hey, guys. Now I'm in the car. That storm was, I don't want to say a flash in the pan. It was not all that impressive. We really got 3 or 4 really solid booms and some nice lightning and some hard rain. And then, poor thing plum tuckered itself out. It was a poor choice, me trying to record in the rain anyway. But oh well. Now I'm in the car. It's more of a traditional outcast. Let's see, what could I talk about? Last night, I started to record a story and probably got 15 minutes into it. And in those 15 minutes, I probably got the first 2 pages done. It just sucked. The computer kept freezing. Even MS Word, where I was reading the story from, would freeze when I was trying to scroll down. That really hadn't happened before. I mean, I had had problems with the computer time and time again, because that happens. But I couldn't do it. After about 15 minutes, maybe it was even 20, I stopped. And it's just like, okay. And you know, there was a lot of cursing too, don't get me wrong. But here I am driving, and I thought, if that hadn't happened, if I had managed to record that whole story, then that could be the story that I'm talking about right now, that we were talking about. But I failed, and I suppose what I could have done is transferred that file to my laptop and then just read it off the laptop, and sound-wise, it would probably sound exactly the same. I didn't think of doing that. It was pretty late.
And so I chose to turn off the computer and I think I edited for a few minutes and I watched about a half hour of TV. It might not even have been that long. And then I went to bed, sad. Right now, when I'm recording this, I'm in the midst of performing Abigail Hilton's Jaeger Thunder. It's the second book in her Refugees trilogy. The first one was called The Scarlet Albatross, and it was an interesting experience. And Hunter's Unlucky was the first one that I did for her. She told me I was not her first choice, but her first choice wasn't going to be able to do it for a good long time. And so she was coming to me, and I did the best that I could on it. I really, really tried to stretch. What do you call it? Where you go farther than you normally do. I tried to go above and beyond, I think I said that. And Hunter's Unlucky ended up really, really good. I did the entire book. And then later she asked me if I would do Scarlet Albatross. And I think, I'm hopefully not getting the memory reversed, but I think this one I was her first choice to do. So, I guess I had proven myself, which is nice. And on Scarlet Albatross, she had the idea of having the male-centric chapters. The chapters were the point of view character was a male narrated by me, and the chapters where the point of view was a female narrated by Lauren Harris. I couldn't imagine how that would work because a lot of the characters were in the same room with one another. The male characters would talk in the female-centric chapters and vice versa. And there were actually a couple of chapters where it was all about the female character telling a story or giving her backstory or confessing something. But because she was confessing it to the male character, whose point of view it was, I got to read those chapters. And anyway, that was just strange to me. I thought that if it were a perfect scenario, both Lauren and I would be in the same recording studio and all the male characters would be voiced by me regardless of which chapters they showed up in, and all the female characters would be voiced by her, and the narrator of just the story itself would either be a third person or, depending on the point of view of each chapter, I would do the male ones and Lauren would do the female ones. And I have no idea if that's how audiobook professionals do it when they're recording in a studio, but I just can't even imagine how dull that would be, how time-consuming that would be, because it took me months to do Hunter's Unlucky. And Scarlet Albatross, because I only had half the book, probably not even that, it still took months, but it wasn't months and months. It was just, Anyhow, from the people that I've heard that listened to it, every once in a while, Abby will forward me a review or comments that she gets, an email that she gets. People really liked it. They liked the way that we did it. And so good. I mean, that tells you Abby knew what she was doing. And then she wrote several short stories that involved those characters, and I narrated some of those short stories. There was a little period where I didn't. But then when it came time for this next book to come out, she sent it to me and had me read it, and I feel like I have about 75% of this book. Of the first half, I have, I would say, 90%, if not more than that. I think that there is one full chapter with a female point of view and a couple of sections of chapters with a female character, and that's in the first book, the first half. And the second half, it becomes much more balanced. But, that's cool. I have to admit that there were chapters where the characters that I think of as my characters were doing something dramatic or emotional or telling stories And Lauren gets to do those chapters. And I was bummed out about that. It's being an audiobook narrator is a lot like being an actor for hire. A character actor, you know. It's somebody who comes in, let's say on a TV show, and he works on an episode. And then he goes on to another show and works on an episode. Or, you know, oh, this week I have a movie that I'm working on. And after that, I've got a commercial. But every time, it's a different character. It's a different part. Some of the parts are juicier than others. Sometimes there are parts that are challenging. Sometimes there are parts that are a breeze. And every once in a while, you get a part that's just... I mean, I'm not a character actor. But from the character actors that I have spoken to, that's how it is. It's just like, oh, shoot, I just have to play the pharmacist. Great. It's like, okay, oh, next week I am the opposing counsel. Okay, all right, I can do that, no big deal. But then the week after that, it's like, oh, I'm the assassin who botched the job and is being made an example of in front of all the other assassins. Oh, well, that's actually pretty cool. Or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know why I started talking about that, but that's kind of how it is with this audiobook, because there are main characters, yes, but there are also characters that every once in a while they get a chapter, or there are characters that are just barely in the book, and on those, you know, it's like, okay, well, I've got to develop a voice for this character. With Abby's books, there are characters from all over the globe, and so characters from different places have different accents, and in talking with Lauren, she's really, really, really good with accents. I mean, I'm using the word good here. She's extraordinarily good. It feels like this is her calling to do audiobooks. I mean, her voice is just amazing. And so when there are times when there are certain accents that I struggle with, I struggle. I think, oh, shoot, you know, I'm not going to be as good as Lauren on this one. Or, you know, I just have to work extra, extra hard to measure up. And then there are other times when it's just like, okay, no problem. I've got this. I'm going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be terrific. Sorry. Let me see if Big is here. Give me a minute. Okay. All right, kids, I am back. I got together with Big, we hung out, we podcasted, and talked for a little while. Now I'm driving home, and I cannot remember what I was talking about. I remember talking about character actors, and you never know what you're going to play this week. I guess this episode can just be about that, about the rainstorm and me narrating Abby's book. Hunter's Unlucky was a book about a bunch of animals, different factions on a big island, and they were mortal enemies, and there was a huge backstory and history behind these factions and their alliances and their prejudices, and it was so epic and such a big book. I mean, it was a real undertaking. It was the most ambitious project that I had ever been given as a narrator, and I really did what I could with the voices and the characters and trying to give everybody a different voice. And then when it came time to do The Scarlet Albatross, it was actually a little bit easier, partly because I was sharing the book with Lauren and there were certain voices. She started the book. The first three or four chapters, I think, were narrated by her, and so she was able to establish the voices of these characters. And then I guess it's fair to say I tried to imitate or parallel what she had done with those characters. I didn't have to originate all of their voices. I mean, there were some, you know, that I came up with, and then Lauren would have to imitate what I had done. But on Jaeger Thunder, I don't know if I even said the name of the new book. It's called Jaeger Thunder. I have the lion's share of, well, I have the first half of the book, like I said before, almost entirely on my shoulders. And so we got together on a Skype call, me and Lauren and Abby,
to sort of talk about voices and characters and accents, and I thought that that was super helpful. As I read the book, I made a list of words that I thought might be problematic, of how does she want this pronounced. A lot of fantasy words, and then there's some nautical words, and then there are names there, and I had her pronounce the words. You know, I wrote it all down so that when I began recording, most of it would be already set. We'd already talked about how things were going to be done. And so that worked really well. That's probably the best way to do something like that, other than having everybody in the same room for the recording process. And because I do the first chapters that introduces some of these characters, I sort of got to dictate. And by dictate, I don't mean I got to have my way, but I sort of got to set the way that those voices would be done in the same way that Lauren did in the first book. But it was slightly different because a lot of these characters were in Abigail's book series, book trilogy, The Guild of the Cowrie Catchers. She did that as a podcast novel where she had it done in full cast. She narrated the book, and all of the dialogue was done from voice actors of different levels of expertise, I would think, from all over with different accents and stuff. And so when it came time to re-voice all of those characters, to reintroduce those characters through my voice, I sort of needed to decide which ones should sound like the previous voice actors and which ones was it not as so important with. For example, Big Anklevich and I did the characters of Jaleel and Michelle Holivar in that Cowrie Catchers audio book, whatever you want to call it. And I did have to consider, well, do I try and sound like Big Anklevich for this part? And how do I sound like Rish Outfield? But there were others. Most notably, Norm Sherman voiced the character of Silvio Lemire, who was the breakout character of Cowrie Catchers. He's the one that everybody loved. He's the one that everybody remembers. So I did my Norm Sherman impression for his lines, for Silvio's lines. But pretty much everybody else, I just came up with a new voice that I could remember and keep consistent. The only other one where I talked to Lauren about it was there's a character called Dakar that Renee Chambliss voiced. And I believe Lauren had planned to voice that character doing an impression of Renee Chambliss. And I haven't gotten to those parts in the book yet. So I don't know if I can do an impression of Renee or not. We'll see. The thing is, trying to imitate all of the voices that had been on the Guild of the Cowrie Catchers would be counterproductive, because not everybody's got as distinctive a voice as Norm Sherman. And who would even pick up if I were trying to do an impression of somebody that had worked on that, that had a small part? Like, if I were imitating Big Anklevich for that character that he voiced, would anybody know that that's who I was imitating? I think not. And so it's better for me to just come up with a voice that I can remember and that I can be consistent with. Because these are long projects. Abby writes these epic fantasy novels. And it's going to be over a period of several weeks that I am doing these. And so I need to be able to have sort of a shorthand. So I made a list of all the characters, or had Abby make a list of all the characters. She did it. Yeah, it was nice that she did that. And then we went through and tried to come up with what kind of accents people had. And even with the list of all the people that Abby wrote down, there were still characters that once I got to them in the book hadn't been on her list. And when I did Hunters Unlucky, I, like I said, tried to give a distinctive voice to everyone, and that ended up being counterproductive as well, because there were characters, and Abby sort of got after me on this, there were characters who were just not important, who were in a chapter or part of a chapter, characters that have two or three lines and then we never see them again. And she's like, why are you wasting time trying to come up with a unique voice for this character that never shows up again? And she was right. For like villager number two, artisan number three, whatever their accent is, just do a voice. And I don't ever have to remember it again. Although, there was an old man early in the book, and I did a voice for the old man. And then just like 2 days ago, I was recording again, and there was another old man, and I did this guy's voice differently. And then when I was editing the earlier chapter, I realized it was the same character. And I thought, oh, shoot. Those aren't going to be consistent. Those two don't have the same voice, because I thought they were two different characters. So I guess even I make mistakes, folks. I know, that sounds vain. I'm so vain, I probably think this podcast's about me. There's, like I said, there's some nautical stuff in this. She's created a world where it's not sentient animals, but it's animal people. I don't know how to explain it. They're animal people. It's like if evolution were sped up and dogs and cats and monkeys and horses and cows were all equals in intelligence and cohabitating a world, and there are sub-species of dog people and cat people and stuff like that. I don't know why I'm trying to explain to you what the book is, but there's that, and then there's also a lot of like political intrigue and piracy, you know, nautical sea battles and ships and dinghies and rafts and mainsails and stunsails and quarter decks and stuff that she's really good at writing and has a lot of interest in. And I don't know any of it. There are so many nautical terms that I've had to look up or ask Abby to pronounce for me. Like there's this word gunwale, and it's pronounced gunnel, even though it's spelled gunwale. And so at some point in the manuscript, I just changed all of the uses of gunwale to gunnel. And then last night, I got to that word again, and I was like, gunnel? Okay, this word is super familiar. I know I was saying it wrong. How do I say it? And so I looked up gunnel, and it didn't exist. It's like, what? Oh, no. And it took me a while to realize, oh, it used to be gunwale. Maybe that's not the best anecdote to end the podcast on. It was actually quite weak. I guess I will release this when Abby's book comes out. Is that fair? It's called Jaeger Thunder, and it's really solid, really a good book. And I think I'm doing a good job with the narration, and I'm more than halfway done with the recording at this point. And the editing, I get about a chapter every other day edited. Although today I got two chapters edited in one day. So I think I'm ahead of the game, but you can burn yourself out real easy on these projects with like too much editing or, you know, too much focus on it. Like for two nights in a row, I recorded until my voice completely gave out, until it was all scratchy and I couldn't say certain words, and then I'd go to bed, which I don't recommend people do, but I was trying to get ahead of the deadline, you know, just bank as many chapters as possible so that I've got it all recorded and it's just how fast can I edit it? Yeah, I think it's turning out really well. I think Abby will be pleased. I think her fans will really like it. It's a good book, and it's the second in a trilogy. And so it's kind of nice to know that there's another one coming that I will be able to work on.
she's very good at paying me for these projects. And I hope that they sell enough that she's not paying me out of her pocket. I mean, I know she's paying me out of her pocket, but she's not spending money that she's not going to recoup in having me narrate these things. I shouldn't care because I want to be an audiobook narrator and I have to worry about how well things are going to sell. But with Abby, I do care because she's a friend of mine. I want her to do well. I know how important her writing is to her. And it's, in many ways, she has been an inspiration to me in how these projects can be done, in setting up a Patreon, in attitude about writing. She just does it a lot and does it well. And she has a loyal fan base and stays in touch with them. These are things that I would like to emulate. And so I've really got to go to sleep now. I apologize. Last night I stayed up very, very late, and tonight it's very, very late as well. So I'm just going to end it here. Again, the book is called Jaeger Thunder. There is a link in the show notes if you'd like to buy the audiobook, narrated by me and Lauren Harris. And I think if you like the way that I narrate audio, you won't be disappointed with the performance on this. So thank you for listening to the Rish Outcast. Thank you for your friendship or patronage, or even if you and I have never corresponded in any way, I appreciate that you exist. Somebody that listened all the way through to the end of this thing, unless you're compiling blackmail material, thank you. Good night.
The Rish Outcast was produced under a Creative Commons 3.0 license, which makes it free to listen to, share, and poke fun at. But the podcast cannot be altered or sold. If you didn't completely despise this episode, why don't you support the show with our Patreon fund over at patreon.com? Every dollar gives me more strength to put Outfield in this place.
The truth is, it would be far too difficult, and what's the word, where something does damage to itself. It's more trouble than it's worth. It was on the tip of my tongue. It's not retroactive. Problematic. There's a word that means more trouble than it's worth. Damn it. It's playing around the top of my head. The thing is, trying to imitate all of the voices on the Guild of the Cowrie Catchers would be counterproductive. That was the word I was looking for.
I guess I'm going to go in. What can I put this with? You know what? I'll be thinking about it. On the toilet.
All right, Fake Sean, inspire me.
That's what I'm here for. Oh, I've got inspiration coming out of my wang.
Really? I thought you were here to...
The music's starting. First, when there's nothing but a slow, glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone, I have cried silent tears full of pride in a world made of steel, made of stone.
Kicking in, isn't it?
Well, I hear the music. Close my eyes, feel the rhythm wrap around, take a hold of my heart.
Yeah.
What a feeling, beings believing.
Wait,
I can have it all, now I'm dancing for my life. Is that really the line? Take your passion. What does that mean, Beings? And make it happen. Pictures come alive, you can dance right through your life. Beings believing. I'm still trying to get my head around that. Like, supernatural beings are believing? Is that... No? Being is believe. Like, it's like seeing, but now I hear the music. Close my eyes, I am rhythm. In a flash, it takes hold of my heart. What a feeling! Beings believing. It still sounds strange. I can have it all, now I'm dancing for my life. Take your passion and make it happen. Pictures come alive, you can dance right through your life. What a feeling. I think you were supposed to be clapping there. Okay? Not you. What, who? I think he's talking to me. What a feeling. I am music now.
Beings believing.
I am rhythm now.
Pictures come alive. You can dance right through your life.
What a feeling.
I can really have it all.
What a feeling.
Pictures come alive when I call.
I can have it all.
I can really have it all.
Have it all.
Pictures come alive when I call.
Oh,
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 uh-huh.
Oh, Carl.
Oh, is Carl, that it? I'm saying
Carl,
oh.
What a feeling.
I can have it all.
Beings believing.
Is that line again?
Beings believing.
You take your passion.
Yeah.
Oh, oh.
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
What a feeling.
What a feeling.
Well done.
I have a feeling myself you should have faded by now.
I'm feeling pumped. It's like I went to the gym, and you know what I say about going to the gym, right?
No, tell me.